Christ. I come to this church so often, and so often I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. And it was the same this morning. Anyway, good morning. Why are you here today? You're here because you were called. You are here by your own free will. You don't have to come to church, but you are here. You are here because you have heard the call of God. You heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." A long time ago, when I was a Sunday school boy, that was a long time ago, we used to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so." And that is a glorious truth. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, loves us beyond our understanding. Thus it is then that I've been led to bring before you a message about our individual joyful relationships with Him. There is much spoken in the Bible concerning joy. So, I invite you to come with me on a journey, a believer's journey about joy, a biblical journey into joy. Do you remember that which Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman? We've just heard it. He said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." And then he continued with, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so it is that the theme I shall bring before you this morning is extremely joyful. It concerns that kind of joy that faithful, believing Christians overwhelmingly benefit from through knowing that whatever be our circumstances, the Lord is with us and shall always be with us. We just sung a song, haven't we? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend indeed. Our Lord is dependable. He is loyal. He comforts us in times of sorrow. He lifts us when we feel downcast. He eases our levels of stress at troubled moments. And he offers his wisdom when advice is sought. He shares in our happiness. And he is our Savior, the one who rescues us from those gates of hell. He is our shepherd, who leads us to green pastures and quiet waters. And yes, oh yes, he refreshes our soul. And he guides us along pathways of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, let me repeat something that I've already said. What a friend we have in Jesus. Knowing and believing that he is always with us should put a great big joyful smile on our faces. Let's have a look. Yeah. Oh, not bad. Not bad. Not bad. Glory be to God, our Father, to his Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I sought out the word joy in my dictionary, and it was described as a deep feeling or condition of happiness or contentment. How are you feeling today? If you're not feeling good, you should be, because God loves you and I so much. He has gifted us his only begotten Son, who likewise has passed on to us the Holy Spirit to live within our hearts. However, let's not imagine that as Christians we cannot receive joy from things that are not spiritual. There is, for example, the joy and love we share with family and friends. And there is the joy that will come about in a couple of months' time when the freshness of springtime arrives and colourful flowers will begin to abound and baby lambs will leap for joy in lush green meadows. And then summer shall come. It'll be warm and the sky will be blue and we will rejoice in the warmth of sunshine. Yes, my friends, there is so much in life that can bring joy to our hearts. But sadly, I occasionally come across confessing Christians who seem to suppose it's sinful to rejoice in all these things. They walk through life as though it is their duty and calling to be gloomy and somber. And it's not their duty, never was. Of course, I know about the cross. And I will admit to you that on some Sunday mornings, when we come before our Lord in worship, I can choke a little and my tears can flow. In fact, as I'm getting older, I'm getting more and more emotional, actually. But I like to think I'm strong in faith. Strong in faith, but I always struggle to wonder how a God could love the likes of me and you. But Jesus died for you and I, didn't he? Shouldn't someone loving us with such devotion move our emotions? Not just with tears of thanksgiving, but also with hearts packed with joy. We live with the love of Jesus deep within us. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read just a few verses from verse 16. These words are the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian church. Never mind, I'll leave that. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the spirits of fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Words then. Addressed to the Thessalonian church, but remaining so meaningful. Even to we of this church, we can and do receive so much encouragement from Holy Scripture. So, be joyful always. Rejoice evermore. My dear friends, there is no scripture that instructs us to be mournful always, grieve and sulk evermore. Psalm 33 offers us a wonderful, uplifting opening. Let's just turn to it. Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. And I'm going to have one more word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, brother. Please, fellowship, take all this in. Joy is a duty. And we must perceive that. It's a command found throughout the Holy Bible. Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. You got it? Yeah. I will say it again. Rejoice. Isn't life much more agreeable where cheerful souls abound? Isn't a smile much better than the miserable face? Our Lord prefers us to be full of gladness and not sadness. But then, might we not exclaim that our emotions of joy and sorrow seem not to be fully always under our own control? We cannot help being either glad or sad at life's circumstances. It is true, we can't help being sad in the presence of sorrowful happenings, but we can refuse to let our minds forever and forever dwell on them. What can we do? We can pour out our hearts to our Lord in prayer, requesting that he take control of whatever our burdens may be. We can pray for his grace and meditate upon his goodness and his promises and that glorious future which as faithful believers we know awaits us. Our choice is to stand in the light or hide among the shadows. Adam and Eve tried that, but it didn't really work. I mentioned that we profit within our souls when we perceive that Christian joy is a necessary way of life. And you might think to challenge me by saying, that's all very well, Alan. I do have a certain portion of joy, but how can I get more? How can I multiply my happiness? Well, the secret, if secret is the correct word, is not over difficult to come by. Just about everyone here this morning owns a Holy Bible. And I can tell you that the answer to finding true joy lies within those hallowed pages. Come with me, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I shall read the first four verses. This is not the only place to find scripture regarding true joy within the Bible, but it is a beautiful and very useful example. So, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Let's just remind ourselves who the author of this particular scripture was. It was the Apostle John who spoke these words. He walked with Jesus. He really did. He had stood beneath the cross of his dying Lord, standing close to Mary, our Savior's mother. He had been in that room behind locked doors when Christ, the Christ they thought was dead, appeared. And he was there at that place called Bethany to witness and receive that glorious blessing as Jesus left them and was taken up to heaven. So here we have an assurance delivered by a reliable and much loved witness as to the authenticity of he who we worship. I'm of course referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. Historically, we know that this letter, which we refer to as 1 John, was written somewhere between AD 85 and AD 90, and it was written in Ephesus, And I state these facts to you to stress the point that the New Testament is history. And that as history, it can be researched to check out if it could be true or false. These words of John have long been examined and are acclaimed as truth. Now, historical research explains to us that 1 John was written not to any particular church, but that it was probably a pastoral letter sent out to several Gentile congregations, which makes us so privileged today because we can read it from within our Bibles in a way that it is as though the apostle was writing to us, and especially for us. And thus, brothers and sisters of this church, it can be read as though John was writing a special testimony just for you and I. And if we move forward to chapter 5 and verse 13, still in 1 John, it explains to you and I exactly why our joy should feel complete. Because John says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. I repeat, you may know that you have eternal life. I'm speaking to you, brothers. I pray that these words are uplifting you to a level of joyful recognition about yourselves and ourselves as believers and the glorious future we, the faithful, have awaiting us. I'm going to say it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We, again, I'm going to say it, get so much encouragement from studying our Bibles. When I felt led to make joy the subject for today, my mind immediately flowed to Jeremiah 15. Because in my early days of study, I had underlined words from verse 16. And I still use them to this day. In the NIV, they read like this. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Now, the King James Version makes it sound even more poetic. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. What then is the value to us of this joy? I read somewhere, I don't think it was in the Bible, but never mind. Joy is to the soul what wings are to a bird, enabling us to soar above the things of earth. Isn't that lovely? Let's stay with the Old Testament for a moment. If you wish, turn to Nehemiah 8, verse 10. And this is one of my favorite verses. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food. That's my favorite line. And my second favorite line, and sweet drinks. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. A quick explanation may be required here. So let me say that the times of Nehemiah marked a turning point in the history of Israel. A remnant of the Jews had been freed from captivity in Babylon, and they returned to their homeland. The law, long ignored by those captives, was now to be established again. There had come about a remembrance in their hearts of the many past sins and tears. And not unnaturally, they mingled with the thankfulness. They were again a nation, and they turned once more towards divine law and divine worship. Thus their leader had said to them, this day is sacred to our Lord, and this feast we are celebrating is a day of devout worship. Therefore, don't be mournful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this leads me again to the cross. Confessions of sin and shame of that sin do have their place, and communion with our God cannot be maintained without such. Nevertheless, when true repentance has been exercised and things made right with God, we need to forget our past, take up the cross, and follow the one who is our Saviour, Jesus, the living Christ. Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 13 puts it like this. And David said something a little bit earlier. Forgetting these things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. So, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy that is not of the Lord is not our strength. Indeed, joy that is not of the Lord might well be our weakness. Joy in the Holy Spirit, joy through the Holy Spirit, is altogether different from a natural worldly joy. It is a product gifted by the Comforter who lives within, Christ in us, answering our needs for pardon and cleansing by accepting his joy. We become at peace with Almighty God and also at peace, hopefully, with ourselves. When Christ reigns supreme in our heart, joy fills it. When he becomes Lord of our every desire, when he is the source of our every motive, when he becomes the remover of our ever earthly lust, then holy joy will pour out from our lips in praise and worship. Why? Because then we shall be walking in the light of Jesus. Turning back to 1 John, we've already covered the first four verses, but let's take note of verse 5. It reads, and remember these are the words of the Apostle John, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." A young Christian, even a new older Christian, someone just recently turned to the Lord, might wish to ask, where is the root of all this spiritual joy that I might find it? And the answer to that question is through faith. Faith is the root of spiritual joy. The spring of joy is faith. Isaiah said, and he had loads of faith, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." And who was Isaiah talking of way back in the Old Testament? He was talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my beloved brothers and sisters, there is within the Holy Scriptures an abundant, wondrous provisional joy, awaiting to be received. Search it out and it will leave a calm and settled glow in any Christian's heart. It takes away that heavy load of guilt. And how does it do that? It does so by speaking peace into shameful consciences. It removes the fear and terror of death, which weighs on the soul whilst it is under condemnation. It gives us Christ himself, embedded deep within our soul. The Holy Scriptures work joy because by knowing them, by seeking to understand them, our souls become at peaceful rest with Father God, enabling us to live in joy. But these blessings become our own only through personal faith. Faith must receive them. And when it does, so our hearts can be filled with all that peace and joy of truly knowing our Lord, the Lord who knows us individually even better than we know ourselves. Allow me, please, then, brothers and sisters, to bring this message to its closure with one last short reading. Let's return to Philippians 4, and we'll pick up again from verse 4. Please remember were the words of Paul, and may we take them into our hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Jesus, somehow, if you don't already realize this, is knocking on the door of your heart. Why not open that door? Let him come in. May all the blessings of our Lord be with you, now and forevermore. Amen.